Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great day so far and an even better week. We are currently at Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York. As I said, I know it's still early in the week, but we like to get things started right away here. We have a great show for you tonight. And joining us again is Dr. Linda Groff. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, nice to be back.
All right. Now, Linda, why don't you refresh everyone a little bit? Tell us where you're calling from today.
I live in the Los Angeles area, and I've been teaching at California State University for over 40 years, and I am now retired and working on a lot of writing and also am open for talks and workshops and consulting. So the areas I've worked in all these years that I'm still working on in terms of writing are futures and evolution and change. You know, how do we explain all the accelerating rate of change in the world today and what's driving change and how do we have to, you know, what are opportunities in change that we didn't see before that can help us in our own lives and so on. And issues futures look at are new technology, social change, environmental issues, climate change, you know, new consciousness, new thinking, all those types of things. And then I've also taught peace and conflict resolution and nonviolence things for a number of years, as well as things on intercultural communication and interfaith dialogue. So now that all the diversity of humanity is coming together, how do we learn to live together on this planet and create, you know, more understanding between our differences and bring the best gifts of all our different traditions to humanity as a whole today? So that's some of what I've been interested in.
Sure. Sure. Now, just to take us back a little bit, you know, how was it that you really got involved in this? What was it about everything, really, that you do that really inspired you? What got you here?
Well, that's a good question. I think we're on a journey, every one of us in our lives, you know, and I've gone, I was at the University of Michigan studying English as an undergraduate, but I somehow got in my head that I wanted to go abroad. And so I was studying German as a minor, so I found the experiment in international living to go for a summer and live with a German-speaking family in Austria, which I did. And then that opened up different cultures and, you know, histories and so on. And then the following summer, I happened to go to Harvard Summer School and studied international relations. And that got me, you know, and I did very well. And so I decided maybe I'm not so, you know, maybe I've got some capability. So as a result of that, I got recommended to a very good oldest graduate school of international relations, Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy. So then I got my PhD in international relations and started teaching, including international relations. But then along the way, I discovered future studies, which I love even more, which is really looking at change and big picture and how change in one area relates to other areas. And it was a field that I immediately loved. And so then I did future studies, and then peace and conflict resolution stuff was always a sub-area of international relations. And I was married for a little while to my late husband, and he was one of the founders of peace studies from England and then taught in the U.S., and so we did work together on all that. And then I also discovered intercultural communication about, you know, how do people from different cultural backgrounds communicate positively with each other and create more understanding. And then I got also into interfaith dialogue between different people of different religious faith traditions. So I've been involved with all of that for quite a while, and it all sort of interrelates. It all tends to have a global focus. And I do have a certain passion about it because I think, you know, we have a lot of challenges in the world today, absolutely, and I think a lot of our institutions aren't working real well, and so we're in another one of these big transitions on the planet. But there's no reason humanity can't solve its problems if we decide to address them and be open also to addressing them. But sometimes we have to change our thinking, you know, in order to solve problems. If you keep doing everything...
Sure.
I like to say that the crises in the system, when they occur, are the universe's way of telling us that what used to work is no longer working. You know, so but usually people try to do even harder what they were doing before, and then finally they have to say, okay, that's not really working. We have to come up and be open to some new things and change. And I think we usually over time organize at a bigger system level as well. So, you know, in technology, communications today, the internet, you know, it's making everything much more interdependent. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's kind of where we are today. But, you know, there's lots of opportunities, but we have to sort of decide to address them if we want to solve them.
Absolutely. So. That is certainly, you know, there's a lot to do, a lot to be done, and a lot more for us to kind of pick your brain at. So why don't we get at some of the works, some of the books that you you have. Now, before we get to that, I just want to know, now, you've written over 75 published articles, is that correct?
Right, and now I'm working on different books to get all the...
Right,
know,
and now you
this.
Have the books coming up. But now, what were the articles about? What were the articles about? Everything, basically, that you've, you know, been a part of, the futures, evolution...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, no, I've just...
No, I was just going to go through
areas.
Kind of what you... Yeah, the different areas, okay.
Well, so, and I don't have a list in front of me at the moment, but, you know, I published a bunch of articles in future studies area, you know, about change, understanding change, new technology. I just edited two futures journals called World Future Review on the theme of future human evolution, and I got futurists from different countries around the world to write on what they see as the cutting-edge issues in technology, transhumanism, also in sustainability, you know, taking care of the earth. That's our home. You know, if we destroy the earth, we don't have anything to live on. And then in the areas of civilization, because all the diversity of humanity is coming together, and we have to figure out how to do that constructively. And then consciousness, how do we change our thinking so that we can create a framework to solve all these problems that we have.
Right.
So I published in all those areas. I've also published a lot of articles in the area of peace and conflict resolution, and in nonviolent stuff, and then I've also done a lot of articles in the intercultural interfaith dialogue area as well. So I'm, I have two futures evolution books I'm working on. One's an edited one of all these articles that other people wrote for the, you know, I did one too for this futures journal on different aspects of future human evolution and where we're going and the issues being raised by all of that. So that's one, and then I have my own futures evolution book, which is called Evolution Evolving, Cutting Edge Issues for Humanity in the World. And then in the peace area, there's two books I'm working on as well. It's a little ridiculous, isn't it? But anyway, now's the time to get all this done. So in the peace area, I'm working with four other people in L.A. and Southern California, and we created a peace wheel with peace at the center with 12 sectors around it on different aspects of peace. And we did a peace convergence process, inviting people to come together from each of those sectors, and did a whole day on that. And we did a culture peace educational series. And anyway, and we did a peace recognition, giving people certificates working in these areas. But now we're working on a book. And we have over actually 75 articles from different people in LA working in each of these areas of peace. And that's going to be another book that we're, you know, that's an edited book that I'm working on with four other people. And we've gotten a lot of good people writing to show that, you know, there's good people, good ideas, good projects, and so on coming out of L.A., Southern California in support of building a culture, you know, more of a culture of peace on the planet, or cultures of peace, because, you know, it can take different forms. And then I have my own peace book, which is called Sustainable Peace Building, The Challenge of Building Cultures of Peace on Planet Earth, based on holistic evolving views of peace as visions and goals of what we want to create to make the world a better place, as well as evolving views of nonviolence as the means we want to use to bring about those that change, and then evolving views of these community peace wheels as a way to bring different sectors of the community together to work in support of peace. So I've got all of those, but I've done a lot of work on all of them, and, you know, they're all in process and coming along. So...
Very nice. Now, when do you think you're going to be able to release some of these books?
Well, that's a very good question. I think 2016, 2017, I would say, for the two edited books, as well as I think all of them probably, but that would be the time span, but I can't give you the exact. I'm sort of in the middle of the two edited books right now, and then also my own stuff I need to go back through. And I mean, I have a long draft material of all the stuff of my own two books as well, and I need to just go back and kind of edit that and get it all together and get that out too. So I've done a lot of work on all of it. It's just you need more hours in the day, I think. That would be good.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was gonna say, what is it to you? I mean, do you have a mission for your life and career? What would you say is your mission?
Well, I have a mission statement on my website, which people can look at. It's www.lindagroff, and it's G-R-O-F-F. It's just lindagroff, one word, .net. But the mission statement is something I wrote some years ago about what I'm committed to, but I don't have it right in front of me. I could go get it, maybe. But anyway, they can find it there. But my mission is really, I think, you know, in a certain way, people either are trying to bring humanity together or they're trying to divide us and one group dominate another. And for me, I'm committed to how do we bring humanity together more and create more understanding and create more opportunities for more people on the planet and continue to use technology to improve our lives and also live in some sense of, you know, in harmony or as caretakers of the earth so we don't destroy our life support system. And bring, you know, and try to empower more and more people to unleash their own creativity and their own spirit to contribute something back to the world. You know, and I've been an educator all my life, so, you know, I guess educators do try to empower people, you know, so people can discover their own gifts that they can contribute to the world. So I guess those are some of my commitments. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, with that in mind, though, what are some of the things you think as human beings we can do on an individual level to kind of, you know, take action?
Okay, good question. I always say to all my students and whenever I give talks and workshops and so on, if everybody would just commit, there's a certain energy and power in committing your life to something beyond just yourself. And I think sometimes even the universe comes and supports you and sort of magical ways you couldn't have figured out yourself, you know, if you commit to something. So if every single person on this planet would commit to doing something, you know, where their areas of interest are, to do something to make the world a little better place, that would be very significant. And a lot of people do that already. But, you know, if everybody did that, you know, not only would their own lives each be more meaningful, but there would be a certain energy and power in doing that, I think, as well. So everyone has to find out what are their own special gifts, their own, why are they on the planet, you know, each person. And, you know, if you look inside yourself, not just what other people tell you to do, but go inside and find your passion. And, I mean, what's his name, who did stuff on mythology, Joseph Campbell, used to say, follow your bliss. So what that, you know, everybody said, what does that mean, right? But I think what it means is, you have to go inside yourself and figure out what are you passionate about? What do you care about? What are your gifts? How can you make a contribution, each person? And nobody can answer that for you except finally you yourself. So, but I'm sure everyone can do something, you know. And there's a reward that comes back. If you do some service or something that helps other people or inspires them or helps them somehow with their life, you know, then that makes you feel good too. So, that's, you get your reward by doing it as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sense?
Now, what do you think it is, though? Do people get lazy? I mean, as far as the do you get overwhelmed? I mean, what is it? How can you kind of overcome that feeling?
Being overwhelmed. Oh, well, I think that, see, now that's why I do the, like, teaching I do is specifically like my future studies too, because I do think change is happening in almost every area of our life. I actually believe evolution and change is embedded in everything in the universe. And sometimes you have change within existing systems, and sometimes those systems break down and you have to have whole new ones emerge. And so if things look like they're not working well, like some of our institutions today, I think, you know, instead of getting completely depressed by it, you can realize that maybe we're in another major transition and something new is going to be emerging. But I think part of what I've tried to do with all the work areas I do is give people some frameworks to help recontextualize how they look at change and how they look at cultural diversity, how they look at options for peace and so on. And when they see those, it helps give them ideas that they can then see, well, how does this relate to my own life? And then you can empower people to start to see where there are opportunities in change. It doesn't have to just be overwhelming. You know, but that's why I think, well, for example, future studies is a great field because you can help people understand change better and see more opportunities in change so they don't feel totally overwhelmed, you know.
Right.
And they start to, oh, I could do something here, or I, you know, here's an area that interests me where I could make some contribution. So,
sure.
Anyway, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, just from some feedback that we've received from our listeners, you know, via email, it sounds like a big question for what, you know, for what you're discussing is basically along the lines of involvement, I think. That's what it sounds like, because there's a bunch of different kind of comments that I've received. And it's really, for me, it seems like, how do you intertwine all of the things that you focused on for your career, and how do you kind of mend them all together to make one concise movement here? Because it sounds like you're really trying to do something that a lot of people might not understand, right?
Well, not until maybe they do when they start to get into these areas and these fields of,
right,
you know, research and so on. Then they start to, you know, talk like I do, maybe. But
are there organizations that people can find?
Yes, absolutely. In every one of these areas, there's professional organizations that teach people, you know, these different fields. And then there's also activists who work in each of these areas as well. And I probably, you know, it would depend on someone's own interest. But in the area of future studies, for example, there's three professional organizations. One is the World Future Society in Washington, D.C., but there's the Maryland area. Another is the World Future Futures Studies Federation, which is global and made up of professional futurists from different countries. And a third one is something called Association of Professional Futurists that also do regular activities and education and people that are working in future studies. So, you know, those are three organizations right there. And then in the area of peace studies, there's an international peace research organization that has people from all different countries and is affiliated with United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, and also the World Future Studies Federation as well. There's also the Peace and Justice Studies Association, which is more North American peace studies. And then if people are interested in intercultural communication, there's the Society for Intercultural Education, Training, and Research. And if people are interested in interreligious, interfaith dialogue, you know, which is a very positive experience, by the way, to have people come together from different faith traditions and discover that they actually have some areas of common ground, you know, and that they can even enrich their own faith practice and tradition by encountering people from other traditions. It doesn't have to be a conflict. So the organizations involved with that, there's a Parliament of the World's Religions, or Council for Parliament of the World Religions. There's also something called United Religions Initiative. And, you know, anyone in their own home, you know, you can invite people in your own home, like who come from different cultures, let's say, or different religions if you want, and you can invite them and have a theme for the day. And, you know, you can have people come and have some tea and coffee or something and, you know, whatever. And you can have a dialogue, just starting with a small group even, where you would share your own traditions, your culture, your faith traditions, views on that issue, and just try to create understanding. And so dialogue is very important today, too, just to increase understanding between people that come from different backgrounds. So there's whole movements of teaching people how to dialogue, even, you know, is another thing. But there's so many different things. There's so many opportunities, and each of these different areas has different organizations and different frameworks to help educate people about those fields and so on, and different people doing activist things. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to have theory, and it's good to try to apply it. You know, if the theory about a field doesn't just stays in the theory area, it doesn't change the world. You know, you've got to try to start to bring stuff, you know, see how to apply it in the world as well. But I think a lot of people try to do both. So,
very,
I don't know. Does that help at all? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I should remind everybody that, you know, right now you're listening to Dr. Linda Groff. I mean, really amazing. Amazing. That's really the best way that I can describe it. It's very intriguing, the different things that you're, you know, trying to do, that you've, you know, spent your life working on, and very cool conceptual information, too. Now, I know that you mentioned, as we have a little over 10 minutes left in this show, you mentioned something about workshops and speaking sessions and such. So now, where have you done that, and where are you trying to do more of that?
Well, I've actually given talks, you know, in my community a lot. I've done it nationally. These organizations meet all over, and I've given talks and workshops in many countries too. So, you know, but I think now that I'm not teaching full time anymore, I have, you know, besides getting my writing done, the other major thing I have is I have a lot of good information frameworks and things I can share with people to help inspire them as well in each of these areas. And so, you know, futures evolution change, peace, conflict resolution and violence, intercultural interfaith dialogue, you know, bringing, how do you create unity amongst the diversity of the world's peoples? And it's not about making everybody the same. It's about, you know, creating greater understanding. And you don't have to agree when you do dialogue on everything. You just need to, you know, have some frameworks where you can have more understanding. And that's a very positive thing in itself. And then sometimes out of those types of that dialogue, people can, projects can emerge that people can work on as well. So, so anyway, I am very open if people, you know, I've always given talks and workshops. I enjoy very much an interchange with an audience, and getting a good dialogue going with people about the topics. And I've given talks through my university in different communities as well for a long time. And I love to even go to other countries. I love going to different cultures. I've always learned so much that way. And so we live in a very interdependent world today that's also changing rapidly. And, you know, a lot of the problems we have, we need to find local solutions, but within the context of global interdependence and national interdependence as well. So, nobody's an island totally. You know, everybody is connected with other people in their own community, in their country, in their state, you know, as well as globally. Whatever happens in the world, other places comes back and impacts us. It's not just that the U.S. impacts the rest of the world, which maybe was truer in the past. And now everything, you know.
All right.
So it's good to be informed, too, you know, about the world and what's happening. And there are a lot of problems and a lot of crises, and people are at different levels of development and are facing different challenges. But, you know, like they just finally signed a climate change agreement, and there's some people who are total climate change deniers, but, you know, 99% of scientists would support that the world is warming and we need to address the implications of that. It can affect the growing season, the plants, you know, what people can grow in a different given area, et cetera. It has a lot of implications, and we need to transition to more renewable energy sources so we don't keep putting, you know, carbon into the atmosphere that creates more global warming. You know, there are various things like that. And we have more people on the planet. We may also be, these are the big crisis problems. We may be in the sixth mass extinction of species on the planet, which means that, you know, and the last time we had a mass extinction was the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. So that's a big deal, you know. And we don't even know the full implications of that. But if you have an ecological system and a number of different plants and so on build up over in an interdependent way over time, and then some of them start dying out, you know, you could affect the whole ecological system. So these are serious issues that we want to leave. Here's the bottom line. Do we want to leave to future generations, to our children and grandchildren and so on, a better world? Or do we want to leave it all mucked up so it's worse for them? I don't think most people should want to leave a worse world for their offspring and other generations, you know. So what we have to do, here's where consciousness comes in. We have to wake up and become conscious of our own behavior and our own actions and the effect that they have, you know. And like some people have also talked that we're entering now what's called the Anthropocene Age. I think I might have mentioned this last time. I'm not sure, but it means that since around 1950, impact on the planet, dominating it and so on, that, you know, that a lot of animal species are endangered and plant too. And so we need to become aware of this because animals are trying to survive just like humans, you know, but they're having more difficulty as well. So, you know, do we want to see a mass extinction of all kinds of other species? And what effect is that going to have on our future, you know? So these are some of the kind of urgent questions that we need to be more consciously and responsibly addressing, I think.
Sure. No, absolutely. And so what are kind of your hopes now for the next 5 years of you know, futures and, I mean, on a whole global scale?
Good Lord. Yeah, I mean, first of all, futures don't claim to predict the future. They claim that there's many alternative futures out there. This is important. People think that futures are predicting the future, but they can look at where are the trends taking us, and then you can say, well, if these trends continue, this is what the world would look like in 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever. But then you have to also be aware of new of breakdowns of systems sometimes or institutions, but also there can be new things emerging that weren't there before that can also change the future, like a new technologies, for example, which are also a big issue today. You know, like artificial intelligence, there's a big debate going on about, you know, whether if we create, you know, intelligence in a computer or whatever, right? Is silicon intelligence, is it going to at some point be a threat to humanity, or how do we keep it serving humanity? And, you know, what is humans' relation with technology that's emerging very quickly? And
right.
We're also going to space. You know, there's a lot of talk now about a Mars mission. Both the NASA's talking about a Mars mission, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, but also there's private sector efforts. There's one called Mars One, I think. The idea. And there have been a bunch of people volunteering to go to Mars on a one-way mission, for heaven's sakes, you know, where they would not come back, you know, if that happened. So, you know, that's a real adventuresome spirit, right? And when you first get there, you know, it's not going to be very hospitable. So there's a lot that goes into it. And then Elon Musk is another big promoter of saying we need to also go to Mars. And, you know, there's starting to be, you know, our whole environment is starting to expand from just being on the Earth to, you know, finally getting more people maybe into space and maybe eventually leading to some kind of permanent space colonies. And, you know, some people say, like, Stephen Hawking, you know, the famous physicist from England.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he thinks we should go to space because just in case we happen to blow ourselves up and do some terrible disaster on Earth, some of the human species will survive. Now, that's kind of a negative scenario, you know. I would like to hope that we don't ever get to that point. But, you know, there's still just the human spirit. Yeah, I mean, the more positive reason for the spaces is there. And humans, I think, over time, always want to extend their boundaries, and they push back boundaries, and they want to explore the unknown. And there's something in the human spirit, I think, that wants to always, you know, push back boundaries more and more. And so, you know, space is one of those boundaries today that is, you know, and it has all kinds of challenges for humans in space because our bodies aren't naturally equipped to live in a space environment. You know, either you have to be in a space station and you have to do exercise all the time to keep your bones strong and all kinds of things. Or you, if you go outside of your, you know, it's like the International Space Station or something, you have to have a space suit on, you know, because it's not an environment that's real hospitable for humans. But there's still, in spite of all those difficulties and dangers and so on, there's something in the human spirit that's trying to, you know, some people want to go to space and explore the great unknown. And, you know, you have programs like Star Trek, right, and Star Wars and stuff that have inspired generations of people about going to space and maybe encountering other alien species out there. You know, that's another interesting issue, is are we alone in the universe or not? And that's a big, that's a whole other topic in itself.
Linda, I would love to have you back on the show just for that topic.
Well, if you want to sometime, I'd be happy to do it. Yeah. I've got four different perspectives on that I've looked at. Yeah, and some are more controversial than others, but they're scientific.
Of course.
if you ever want to do that, yeah, I'd be happy to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Linda, unfortunately, we are running out of time for today's episode. And again, I feel like there's a ton more that we got to pick your brain about. Listen, if you want, we have just about a minute left. So why don't you tell people the best ways to reach out to you, find out some more information?
All right. Well, I have this new website that's called www.linda, L-A-N-D-A, Groff, G like George, R Robert, O-F-F, like Frank. So it's Linda Groff, one word, .net, N-E-T. So if you go there, I have a short bio under the About section, and I have a long resume with all my publications and stuff and the books I'm working on that's under the Portfolio section. And then there's a Contact section also that tells you how to reach me. So I had two emails there, but it's all there. So you can go to that. I'd love to hear from anybody. I'd be happy to dialogue with you, or if anybody wants me to come and give a talk or workshop or anything, I'd be happy to do that as well. And Rob, I'd like to thank you too for the opportunity to be on the air with you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Linda. We appreciate your time as well. It was great speaking with you. And again, I hope we can get you back on the show soon. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Have a great night, everybody.